It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Gorilla Position from Talk Sport with WWE 2K17. Welcome to Suplex City. The brilliant new game is out now.
This is Gorilla Position with James D'Lo.
Hello, you, and welcome to Gorilla Position. Thank you very much for hitting the download button on this, your pro wrestling slash sports entertainment podcast of pleasure. My name is James D'Lo, your host and guide through the wonderful, can I say wonderful this morning? Yeah, all right, I'll still say the wonderful world of WWE. I question that because today it's another WWE pay-per-view reaction special of GP, and we are, of course, running down everything that was last night's Battleground 2017 from Philly, from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It took place last night, and well, let's just say we've got a lot to talk about, and luckily I've got someone on the line that I can chat through it all with. He is GP's resident white meat babyface. He's a content producer for TalkSport.com/WWE, Mr. Ash Rose. How are you, Ash?
I'm good, yeah. Trying to find the positives in this crazy battleground world we now live in.
This post-battleground world, which frankly is a different world, I'm not sure if we should still be a part of this world.
It feels like we've gone back in time a little bit, yeah.
Well, I said on Twitter last night, it's really good to watch 2007 on the WWE Network. But anyway, we'll get to the main event. I mean, essentially, last night we had a pay-per-view that was headlined by the great Khali, which is an upsetting prospect at the very least.
In better condition than he's ever been, let's be honest.
I hope that was a joke.
Of course it was.
He looked absolutely appalling.
I wondered if he was going to climb the cage, but we'll get to that, yeah.
Well, he can barely walk, so...
Yeah, exactly. I thought that would be bad news if he tried to climb the top of the cage, but he resorted to shaking it.
Ash, this is bad news for everyone. Okay, well, let's get into it. How are you, first of all? Are you good? Have you had a nice weekend?
It's all good. Yeah, I have had an... I can't even remember what I did. Yeah, exactly. So it must have been a chilled one. Yeah, chilled weekend. Mainly listening to Mike and Ellis' theme tune and doing that, yeah.
and of course, Skillet's brand new album, so let's give that a plug.
Yeah, Bust Your Head, that's my tune. Oh, listen, that's my favourite one off the album, so yeah, well done, Skills.
Anyone who hasn't gone out and bought Skillet Loves You, Skillet's brand new album, make sure you do it. We want to support our GP brother. Right, so let's get into Battleground last night from Philly. I mean, you could tell from the kickoff show, I'm not sure how much you've watched of the kickoff show, because you didn't stay up and watch the pay-per-view live. You lucky sod.
I tried this morning instead, which I'm glad now seeing the pay-per-view, I didn't stay up, but you did well. I saw your live tweeting this morning. I went through that makes me smile in the mornings.
Yeah, I was all over that. So have you watched any of the kickoff show?
I watched the kickoff show just to see Aiden English do his singing.
I mean, that's Aiden English singing, I put on Twitter last night, is so utterly ludicrous, but it makes me smile every time.
Yeah, it kind of warms my heart a little bit. Yeah, I think I've got a thing about the singing because I can't like the Ilya Samson stuff on Raw as well, so I don't know what it is at the moment. But yeah, I like the character. I wish he'd given a bit more. It's a bit fun, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, it was kickoff show fodder, wasn't it, that match, as per usual. I think I like both of those characters, actually. I think Ty's had a rough deal since he's been called up because we've hardly seen him, but it's good that he's got some, or almost, on the pay-per-view. Anyway,
it was like watching, and I must confess, I saw this on Twitter last night, but it was like watching a milkshake take on a glass of orange juice. I mean, the contrast between those guys. But this, I thought this was actually quite a fun kickoff match. I thought, yeah. I mean, what I didn't expect out of this one was it to be competitive in any way. I really just thought Ty Dillinger was going to go over fairly easily. But I liked that Aiden English got more singing time at the end and actually got to the end of his song, if you can call it a song. So I was really pleased that it was competitive. Happy to see this go about 10 minutes, I think it went. And crucially, have a drink.
Have a drink.
Aiden English got the win.
Yeah,
what?
I know.
What the?
I can't. That, I think that sort of set the tone for the night of. Well, no, actually, no, it didn't. Let's be honest. But no, it was good. I think we said on the last week's show we hardly have seen him in a match since he's been split up from the Vore villain. So not only have 10 minutes, I mean, get the win. I don't know what that really means for Ty at the moment. I don't know where he's positioned on the card because he's still getting the pop with the 10 stuff. But I don't know. The thing with these things is if he's now got a win, let's do something with him. Don't have him on SmackDown on Tuesday night, do the same thing and someone interrupt him and beat him inside 30 seconds again. He's got a win. Let's see where it's going. But yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that one. I don't think anyone predicted that one on the predictions last week, did they?
No, I don't think any of our team did. I mean, I think what worries me, to be honest, this is just being negative for negative sake because, you know, it might turn out fine. But I think what they so often do is because Ty lost this match on the kickoff show for Battleground, I feel like come Tuesday night, they might have a rematch and they'll just trade wins and Ty will win that one. So, you know, as you say, it's all about what happens next. But yeah, question marks over Ty Dillinger and what's happening with him. I mean, I'm not too worried. I thought it was a good match. At least he was on the show. Yeah, we'll just see what happens, I guess.
It feels a lot of SmackDown, like we always say, like hashtag where's Luke Harper. There's a lot of SmackDown talent that are on hold at the moment, just treading water, isn't there? I think once now with all these programs have kind of ended and we go into SummerSlam and however long SummerSlam is, I think it's going to be like 7 hours long, including the pre-show. We might see a bit more from each of these, so they've got something to play with because at the moment there's a lot of stars on SmackDown that feel like they're in a kind of holding pattern before they really let go and see where they're going.
Yeah, I think that's the case with a lot of talents on SmackDown, as you say. And I think this pay-per-view really shone a spotlight on that.
Yeah.
I think everyone on social media last night was sort of talking about how good Raw is. And I mean, you know, all I could think, because the last pay-per-view I stayed up live for was obviously Great Balls of Fire a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, compared to Great Balls of Fire, that everyone was really excited about going in. And, you know, we sat around the table in the studio on Wednesday and talked about Battleground, and we made our predictions, and none of us were really excited. And I remember saying on the show, well, you know, I think the in-ring action will at least be good, but other than Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, which we all had high hopes for, we weren't really that invested or excited in Battleground. And I say it on the show so much, and people were really negative at me because I beat this drum, but a pay-per-view like this goes to show the importance of storyline when it comes to WWE. You know, not the wrestling world as a whole all the time, but in WWE, this kind of large-scale theater of entertainment that is WWE, the storylines are crucial. And pretty much all the matches going into this had fairly poor stories, with the exception of probably New Day and Usos, and that was the only very, very good match on the card. So I don't know. It just I think if fans aren't expecting a lot going in because the story hasn't been good, so often it can be a letdown on the pay-per-view, and that was definitely a case last night.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think we usually say, what do we think of the pay-per-view overall, don't we, at the top of these shows? And I thought, bell to bell, again, lots of the in-ring action was good, but I think that's a given now. I think a lot of the time we say, oh yeah, the in-ring action was good, but in WWE in 2017, generally 80-90% of the in-ring work is good. But a lot of the matches I lost interest in because the story wasn't there, or the story hasn't been good enough to draw me in. Cena, Rusev being the prime example, which we'll get to. But yeah, it was a very average pay-per-view. It kind of reminded me of the SmackDown pay-per-views in the drafts before, which isn't a good thing because some of those are truly terrible in some of the times that SmackDown have. It hasn't quite reached that level yet, but when you compare it to Great Balls, it's a different ball game, to be honest. And I think that it's weird because 6 months ago, it was the other way around with SmackDown and Raw, and they've really kind of gone full circle. Raw is now the flagship, as Vince calls it, but it's the better show, and these pay-per-views are showing it.
Absolutely. So on the kickoff show, just a couple of notes I made. I mean, Maria and Mike Kanellis, they did a social media, you know, fan Q&A thing backstage, and I thought they were very, very strong indeed. I thought they were really funny, just 100% committed to their characters. I know you are big fans of these guys, but just something I noticed from the kickoff show.
I love his attire as well. It's very Rick Rude-esque, isn't it?
It's kind of Rick Rude, sort of had elements of Shawn Michaels, a little bit early Shawn Michaels. But yeah, I mean, it stands out. The bright white outfit with the, was it Love Hearts all over it? Yeah. Red Love Hearts.
Maria's face as well.
Maria was, I thought she did brilliant all night, really.
She's a star. I think we forgot how good she was while she's been away. And I think she's got better where she's been in ROH and TNA and stuff. And she's come in and she kind of makes the valet role her own, doesn't she? She kind of shows out that that's, she can do that perfectly.
She's honed her craft, baby.
Yeah, she has. She's looking good too.
Yeah, she is looking good. Jerry Lawler, not looking so good on the on the panel alongside David Otunga, Sam Roberts and Renee Young, of course. Him attempting to pronounce Shinsuke Nakamura's name. I mean, that was just a battleground in and of itself. Is that the saying? In and of itself.
You've got the Laura, you've got his syndrome as well.
Oh, I know. But at least I could say Shinsuke Nakamura, just about.
It's not a hard name in terms of Japanese names. And you think if you're going on TV, you'd practice it a bit, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But he just couldn't get his tongue around it. I don't know if you noticed on Talk of Smack as well, I think it's my favourite Jerry Law thing ever. Instead of down with my homies, he said, I'm going to be home with my downies.
Yeah. I mean, it's classic Jerry Lawler comedy. You know he was just trying to get...
What?
He was just trying to get Renee to giggle, which she did. But that made me smile. And actually, just while we're talking about Jerry Lawler, I don't know how much we'll get into Talking Smack later. So I just want to say, actually, he sort of impressed me on Talking Smack. I still don't think he's the right person for the job. I wouldn't want to see him regularly on there. Another point, by the way, where was Daniel Bryan and where was Shane McMahon?
I was just about to say that, yeah. They offer the authority figures of their own show.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So I didn't hate Jerry Lawler. I really didn't. I thought he did quite a good job when Kevin Owens came on Talking Smack afterwards and was just killing it with Renee Young, who was brilliant as well. But I just thought Jerry did a good job. He seemed to be up on everything. He had opinions. He made some fairly good points, but I think we were quite down on the idea of Jerry Lawler being part of programming like this. And I thought, actually, he was, let's just say he was on form last night. He wasn't as bad as I predicted he would be.
Yeah, and there was a less of the gags as well, wasn't there? He was quite a straight man. He was kind of playing it, just kind of all the info, all the opinions. I think sometimes Lawler tries to be a little bit too funny and it comes off uncultural and just naff. And I think there wasn't none of that last night. He was pretty solid, especially on the on Talking Smack as well. And like you say, with the Kevin Owens stuff, when he was trying to sort of sit between them and stop the argument. I thought he had a good night, Lawler. I think we were fearing the worst, but props to Lawler. He was on form.
He's home with his downies.
Okay,
right, let's get into the main show. Battleground 2017. Will this be the final battleground we ever see?
It's not my favourite pay-per-view name.
It's never... The thing is, like, it's, I guess it's very easy to say, well, what's a pay-per-view name? What does it matter what the show is called? It's the content within it that matters. And if this had been booked into an incredible show, then we wouldn't be saying this. But I do feel like Battleground is one of those almost C-level pay-per-views.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even a B pay-per-view. It's a C pay-per-view. Because I can't remember anything huge that's happened at a Battleground. It always seems to have been that kind of filler pay-per-view.
Was it last year that you had the Shield Triple Threat? Was that Battleground?
Maybe, yes, I think it was. The only thing I remember from last year, and last year I remember Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn knocking it out of the park.
Oh, yes, yeah. And like the kind of blow-off,
Absolute thriller of a match. So, I mean, you know, it's a bit of a redundant point, I guess, but it does seem to me that in an event that people weren't really looking forward to, they haven't done much to heighten anyone's expectations for a battleground going forward. I think that's what I mean.
No, and the set, as you talked about on Great Balls of Fire, the reaction show, the set, again, standard. I mean, I know they're doing the cut costing and things, but I just miss those days where you got the theme of the show, because this could have heightened the battleground thing. You know, they had the flag thing going on, all the sort of videos beforehand. Each competitor had their own flag, didn't they, in the VT they showed. They could have done a bit like that on the stage. I don't know. I just miss those days that makes pay-per-views, even B-level, C-level, just make them feel a little bit more special with a set that sort of themes it. I miss that.
And I have to just point out, because we talked about Jerry Lawler cracking the gag about being home with his downies, you just said it was a cut costing measure.
I was doing my Lawler impression. I did it on purpose.
Okay. We're still talking about Lawler. That was it. Okay. Couple of tweets very quickly, just the generally about Battleground. At Fight Duran Fight says, this has been as bad as expected. Hashtag Battleground. James Powell on Twitter says, Game of Thrones is going on as soon as this shambles is done. Fairly negative responses across the board on Twitter. Usually it's very much a mixed bag. You're obviously going to get people complaining no matter how good the pay-per-view is. But I have to be honest and say it was nothing but negativity coming on the Gorilla Position feed last night.
Yeah, it's hard to pick too much positivity. And like we always say, we really try and do be positive on Gorilla Position. But other than the opening match, which we'll talk about in a second, there was nothing really that engaged me. I think Crumbs saying the Punjabi prison match had me kind of entertained because of the structure and what it was like and the ridiculous rules it has and trying to see through the steel and false bamboo half the time, the cameras and everything. It has a kind of spectacle feel about it, but as a pay-per-view, it's not one I think I'll ever go back and watch. I don't think anyone would want to buy it on DVD. I think the negative feedback is kind of warranted. I hate being so negative, but it wasn't a great night.
No, I think it's totally fair, and we have to be honest. And I put out some tweets, I mean, especially regarding the return of the great Khali, saying this, you know, he is one of the worst performers of all time.
He's in the Hall of Shame.
He's certainly in the Hall of Shame. In fact, he's so much in our Hall of Shame that he was inducted on our 100th episode at our live show in London. I mean, that's testament.
He's a special one. He's a special level
of appalling is great Khali. And I put on Twitter last night, he should not be back on TV. So I was, along with all our fans and all our listeners, I was pretty negative about the show last night, which I hate being, but we've got to be honest. However, the first match of the show, as you mentioned, God, we're 15 minutes into this show and we're only just talking about the opening match. We always go long when the show is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a great opening match.
It was, yeah, it really, really was. Again, I kind of was into this feud. I think I said before on the Wednesday show that I was more interested 2 weeks ago when we had the rap battle more than it kind of fizzled out with the two singles matches they had in consecutive weeks. But this knocked it out of the park. I didn't really expect it to be this good. I didn't expect New Day to win, but this had everything that the rest of the matches didn't. Had a great storyline going through it with the Xavier Woods pretty much doing the match on his own when Kofi was taken out. I always call him Kofi was taken out with a powerbomb outside. That was great. So they had that storyline thread going through it. He had the two great spots. The move that Xavier Woods did that I can't even explain, that looked like it was going to be a scissors, and then he turned it round and slammed him. I can't even put a name to it. I don't think the commentary team did either. And then the sidekick that one of the Usos did off the top rope from Kofi. There were some great spots in it, and the match just, it was one of those edge of the seat matches because it was near falls. It was a really, really good work by all four men, well, five men if you could include old Big E on the side as well.
Well, talking of Big E, it was odd to see Big E not wrestling. Because usually I feel like it's more often than not, it's always him and either Xavier and Kofi. So it was weird to see Big E not wrestling, but what an opportunity for Xavier Woods. I put on Twitter last night, he was the man of the match. Like,
he was easy.
Such a standout performer, and to be that standout performer in such a solid opening contest is testament to how good he can be. And I was actually watching him, and when I ask this question, I want you to imagine him not in New Day, his New Day gear, not using the trombone, but in a different guise. Could Xavier Woods headline WrestleMania?
You're one for the statements this week, aren't
you? Well, I'm you look at certain performers and you think, in 5 years' time, where are these guys going to be? And I look at someone like Xavier and I think, well, actually, when it comes to being a WWE entertainer, he has everything. He's a master on the mic. He's funny. He's good looking. He's got a great physique. You know, he's quite a big guy. You can't deny that. You know, he's not the biggest guy, obviously, but he's got a pretty impressive physique. And I just think he kind of ticks all the boxes, and I just wonder if he will ever reach that level, or if it's going to be Big E that sort of takes that place.
I think he's got potential to be upper echelon kind of card. I don't know if he'll ever headline a WrestleMania, but what showed me last night more than ever, I think because there was so much focus on him in that match where he was the only one where Kofi was taken out on the outside, his facials are brilliant. Yeah. He really tells a story in a match, and it made me think of the whole Wyatt thing as well. Although that didn't go anywhere in the end when they were feuding with the Wyatts, that weird little sort of moments he had with Bray where you thought, ooh, what's going on here? Is he going to be sort of, he traumatised him or something like that, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he made it look real. It wasn't kind of naff or silly. You kind of believed in it. And I think you're right. I think as a performer, he ticks a lot of the boxes, as Xavier Woods. I think it will be all about how he's booked for all of them once New Day's over, because they've been in this gimmick for so long. Mm. The aftermath will be really interesting how they take all three. I think Kofi might be the casualty of them all, but then he is the oldest and more established when they even started. But I've got no problems pushing him. SmackDown's the sort of show that can need a babyface like Xavier Woods if they were to break up. And like you say, he's got the chops. It could be one, yeah, it could be kind of one that's a dark horse for something next year, maybe. I don't know if it's yet, but it could be coming.
It's really interesting, actually, because the landscape of WWE or okay, let's just say SmackDown, the landscape of SmackDown will look extremely different once New Day break up, because the possibilities there, you've suddenly got three top tier talents out on their own with fresh new feuds. And I've always wanted this Big E heel turn. Yeah, so whether you get like Xavier versus Big E in a long running program, I don't know. But the possibilities, it seems, are endless. It's just like when the Shield broke up, you think, right, what are they going to do with Dean and Seth and Roman now? And I think you'll get an element of that with New Day as well.
Yeah, and I think what will happen is one of them will eventually get traded as well, so you'll keep them off shows. But yeah, I think there's lots of possibilities. The Big E heel turn is one we really, really want to see, and I think a feud between Big E and Xavier would be really interesting in the complete aftermath of a New Day split. I don't know where that would leave Kofi, or maybe he'll be on the side of Xavier, kind of helping him out, but there is a lot of possibility. And you look, also, it's like the tag team's breaking up. There's Chad Gable as well. These tag team single stars, it really does give an opportunity to in the future to see where SmackDown's going. It doesn't really bode well when you think of a guy like Luke Harper, we've always mentioned, who seems to be sitting on the sidelines permanently. But maybe we'll see him in the mix at some point as well. But although we're being very negative about SmackDown at the moment, maybe this is just a lull and the future is very much brighter with the sort of talent that could come through and is coming through.
Well, yeah. I mean, one thing that can't be denied is the talent currently on the roster. They just need to be utilized effectively. So New Day win the titles back. I thought both teams looked really strong. This was fast paced. It was frenetic. It was hard hitting. I just love that sense of urgency. I absolutely love it when it's got that urgency, when a tag team match gets going and it hits the right pace and tells the right story. So I just, you know, couldn't have hoped for more, really. For an opening match on a pay-per-view, I thought Usos and New Day knocked it out of the park.
It did. And I was thinking when I was watching this afterwards, is that 2017 has been a very good year for tag teams. They're very focusing. It's like we've switched again, that there's a lot of focus on tag teams. When you think of all the stuff the guys are doing in NXT, you think of Sheamus and Cesaro and the Hardys coming back, and now what these guys are doing on SmackDown. There's been a lot of focus and good matches, good moments, even the stuff with Fandango and Breeze. They're getting time on telly. There's a lot of focus on tag teams at the moment, so they're having a really good year.
Yeah. 100%. Just quickly, Spanner 118 on Twitter says that was a great match, and that move off the top rope by Xavier to finish, it was just amazing! Exclamation mark.
Yeah, I thought he'd gone too far. I didn't think he was going to make it, but props to him. He got some airtime on that, didn't he?
Guy threw himself, didn't he?
Yeah.
And at Bluebird CCFC27 says, big up to Xavier tonight. Forgotten as a wrestler compared to Big E and Kofi Kingston, but proved tonight just how good he is. Round of applause for him tomorrow. Can you give us a round of applause, Ash?
Yeah.
There you go. Well done, Xavier Wood. That was me hitting.
That'll probably be the only one tonight.
absolutely, it will be. Nakamura versus Baron Corbin. This was the second match of the night. First time, one-on-one. JBL called it a dream match. Mild overstatement.
Yeah, he was like that all night. Because going back to the tag team match, he said about three or four times, these are the two best teams of the last decade, which New Day and Usos obviously have been around a long time, but he was hammering home the point so much that in the end it was like, all right, mate, calm down. And it got people thinking, are they really? Probably in the mix, but I don't know if they're the two top teams of the last decade. That's a big statement by JBL.
I mean, it is a big statement, although to be fair, Tim, and I do know what you mean, he was going a bit OTT on some of his statements last night. However, to be fair to him, if you look over the last 10 years, I mean, really, the tag team division is as strong as it has been in a long, long time. And if you look back to the kind of early to mid-2000s, when just the tag team situation was dire, absolutely in dire straits. So, you know, I mean, there's definitely an argument to be made.
Oh, there is. It was just that he kept going on about it. But it was just a bit too much in the end. Yeah.
Well, we're talking about JBL. So he called this one a dream match. And I'm not going to deny that there was some excitement to see this. And I think people were very intrigued by the prospect of this, particularly from a booking point of view. Because on one hand, you've got the rock star Nakamura. And on the other hand, you've got Money in the Bank winner. So I think from a booking point of view, people were intrigued. But he was saying this was a dream match, which I don't think it was. And also, he said Baron Corbin is the strongest opponent that Nakamura has ever faced, and I mean, absurd, simply because, and someone tweeted this to at WWEGP on Twitter, a picture of Nakamura in Japan in, I think 2006.
Great
find. Yeah, great find. I think it was their match in 2006, Nakamura versus Brock Lesnar. So I was thinking, if you're going to talk about Nakamura's achievements in Japan, which they do on WWE TV, they almost shouldn't ignore the fact that he's been in the ring with Brock Lesnar. And I don't know, to call Baron Corbin the toughest, strongest opponent that Nakamura has ever faced was mildly ridiculous to me. But more to the point, the reason I bring up this picture that got tweeted to us was because it just made me think, God, Shinsuke's not being booked well at the moment. And I don't want to be negative. This whole thing is, you know, it's a long game. He's going to hopefully be in the company for many years to come. I don't think everything needs to happen straight away. People have got very short attention spans and they've got no patience when it comes to this kind of stuff. So of course there's room to build up Shinsuke, but I just think he should be booked as a superstar attraction like Brock Lesnar is. And yes, they're calling him the rock star and the artist, but actually, is there a better way of promoting this guy than calling him the king of strong style? Surely that is the way to really promote him as a hard-hitting, brutal, unbeatable force. So then you have him wrestling on pay-per-views every so often, and then it builds up to a feud with someone like Brock Lesnar or Samoa Joe. I just think, I don't know. I
get what you mean.
I worry that he's gone from Dolph Ziggler to Baron Corbin, and it's probably great for those guys, but is it really doing much for Nakamura at this point?
He's kind of become just another face on SmackDown, which he isn't. He's Shinsuke Nakamura. And I think for anyone who didn't watch NXT, that's, you know, there are kids out there that don't get to watch NXT. So he's come in, the big fanfare, the big entrance, the big music, and then that's it. And what do they know about him? What do they see of him? And what have they been given so far? Sort of crumbs of what this superstar can be. But at the moment, he's just another baby face with a good entrance coming into SmackDown. We haven't seen this king of strong style. They need to play this up, show what it means, show how old hard hitting he is with those kicks, and highlight all that, highlight what the whole package is. I love the idea, what you said, James, of saving him for pay-per-views. You don't have to use him every like Battleground was the perfect one to rest him, especially when we were talking about the talents that weren't even on the show or the talents that could be used in a different way. You could save Shinsuke for the bigger shows like the SummerSlams and like the, you know, the bigger pay-per-views, the B and the A pay-per-views. Make him a star attraction. Well, he's different for a reason, but WWE are really, really not showing that at the moment. And it made me, I was mildly interested in this match just because I know how good both competitors are. And it was a physical match, but really cheap ending, really disappointing ending. Probably means they're going to go again, which I don't really have an interest in at the moment. And that's because I just don't think the storyline's there, and we're not being given enough from Nakamura to care about this big personality and big star that he is.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was really disappointed by this one. I thought the action was okay, although mildly clunky at some points. A bit of spot calling from Baron I noticed in the match as well. So Shinsuke wins via DQ because Baszler hits him with a low blow. And this is my first point. Why didn't Shane come out or Daniel Bryan come out, as they so often do on TV on the week-to-week SmackDown shows, and say, this is not how a match ends on SmackDown Live. Yeah. Let's restart the match or whatever. So if they're willing to do that on weekly TV, why would they not, you know, why would they let this slide on pay-per-view, especially as Baron was smiling about it?
Yeah, on the big show as well.
Yeah.
I think I just remembered. I think they did that on the early SmackDown pay-per-views or on one of the matches. I can't remember, but it's got like a little tweak in my brain that I've just remembered. It's like they've just left this one to go, yeah, Battleground. We'll do it until SummerSlam. You know, Shane's not there. Dan's not there. Let's just let them do it. We'll do this cheap finish. And it's a little bit lazy. The whole finish. I hate a Lobo finish. It's one of those dastardly heel things that's been overdone to death. It doesn't do anyone any favours. All right, it gives Shinsuke a little bit of an out, but he could have used the briefcase. Surely that would have made more sense. That's his thing at the moment. I know we can't call it a briefcase, but he could highlight the fact that he has it, used that, got the win. But to do a low blow, it's just like wrestling 101, heel wins, isn't it? It's not interesting.
Yeah. Well, you've got to call it a briefcase because you can't say he's just hit. Oh, God, I can't even talk. I can't talk this morning. He's just hitting with the contract.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite make sense. I mean, listen, let's reserve judgment. I think it all depends on where Shinsuke goes heading into SummerSlam. But I just, my overriding thought was he needs to be booked more like Lesnar. And I have a feeling he's not, because he's not the size of Lesnar.
Yeah.
I really think that. Yeah. When I was watching him in this match against Baron, and Baron, you know, is quite a fair bit taller than Shinsuke. And I just thought, as you say, he feels like he's just sort of part of the furniture now. He's just another talent on SmackDown. And I really hope something grows. I really hope something changes and he transforms into a megastar in WWE's eyes. But right now, that's not coming across.
No, I think, like you said, with the big guy, I think Vince, as we know, has always loved a big guy. And I think if he was a bigger build guy and not so, because he's got a very interesting figure, Shinsuke, where he's tall, not the big, he's a muscly guy, but it's because he's tall and sort of gangly, but in the best kind of way for his moveset. It's not the archetypal Vince McMahon going to push, is it? So I think Vince still needs to be 100% convinced on him, if I'm honest. But that's hope going forward. I mean, I hope we all build to AJ Styles, Shinsuke at WrestleMania. I think that's the end goal, at least short term, isn't it? But he needs to get there and feel like a big match. We don't want it just to be for the fans the kind of short term fans who don't know about Shinsuke, thinking, oh, why is he fighting AJ? We want it to be wow. Do you remember what they had at Money in the Bank? The history they have. We want to build all that up in time for WrestleMania. And so hopefully they will. That's hope. That's be positive and hope they'll realize what Shinsuke is.
Well, at Razor Riot 33 says it was rubbish. Shinsuke needs to face someone decent on pay-per-view. Hopefully AJ or Kevin Owens at SummerSlam. I don't think that's going to happen, because I think AJ Owens are going to go one more time at SummerSlam. Shifty Bill on Twitter says that was the only result that protects both of them, but needed to be a bigger demolition after the bell to make it work fully. And I completely agree with that. I think if Baron's going to attack Shinsuke, it needed to be far more brutal and just a bit more vicious.
Yeah, because that plays into his character as well. I don't think he's been playing up to that as well. The attacks he's been doing on SmackDown haven't been the most vicious. I think he needs to be a bit more ruthless, Baron, as a heel going forward, and he didn't show that. I think the attack needed to be... He needs to watch a bit of Braun on Raw and see what he does.
100%. And finally, at Timmins0 says, hashtag massive punt, Daniel Bryan / Shane O'Mac make Baron put his briefcase on the line against Nakamura at SummerSlam. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm ever on board with the putting the briefcase ones on. I don't know. What would they call it? They wouldn't call it the contract on the line, wouldn't they? But yeah, it could be. Could be an interesting take.
I think our collective noise we both made sums up exactly how we feel about this feud now.
Exactly. I think that's a lot of the feuds on SmackDown as well.
Yeah. Speaking of which, next up, the fatal five-way elimination match. It was the women, Charlotte, Tamina, Becky Lynch, Lana, and Natty Neidhart. I really wanted Charlotte to win. I mean, my interest peaks as soon as I see Charlotte come out. I just think she's such an incredible performer. I took some screen grabs last night and put them on Twitter saying she gets people invested because of her selling and her psychology in the ring. Like when she was trying to get Natty down for the pinfall at the end, but Natty was kicking out. I think it was after that incredible lift up powerbomb, which just took amazing strength from Charlotte. Yeah. The facials and like she was almost in tears when Natty kicked out. And I just thought that's what makes people invest. It's the stories that these performers tell in the ring. And Charlotte does it so, so well.
I think it showed in this match how on another level Charlotte is. 100%. No disrespect to some of the others, because Natty, I think, stepped up, and Becky's always very good. But Charlotte, we talk about tick boxing as we did earlier, and it's just she has absolutely everything. I know we just say it all the time, and we sound like a broken record going about that she's the greatest ever, but she is already. She's the whole package, and where she's been warmed down on SmackDown, she still hasn't lost anything with the fans. I wanted her to win, and I'm quite intrigued that who did win in Natalia, but she's still the man of the match for me, or woman of the match for me.
Well, I do think. I think she's lost a lot of momentum while she's been on SmackDown. I mean, a lot of listeners last night on GP were saying that she's done nothing since she came to SmackDown. And I don't know if that's necessarily true. And I don't think it's going to affect her too badly long term, because I have a sneaky suspicion that WWE have some big things planned for her on the horizon. Notable mention to Ronda Rousey. But I think something big like that does need to happen for Charlotte. I think I'm happy for her to be away from the title scene. I'm happy for her to go into a personal feud, but it's just got to be a good one. You've got to give Charlotte the opportunity to get on the mic, tell some good stories, cut some good promos, be herself, and just give her the opportunity to have some brilliant one-on-one matches. Because actually, I can't really remember a great one-on-one match Charlotte has had on TV since the couple of matches she had with Naomi. They were really getting there, and then the welcoming committee interrupted, and there was that whole storyline. And then it's just been going into this multi-person series of matches ever since then. And I just think, actually, I want to see Charlotte one-on-one with someone, and I just want to see her given time to do something special, because right now I just think it's all a bit throwaway.
It'd be nice if, now that they're both out the title picture, if Becky and Charlotte had a one-on-one match at SummerSlam, like, you know, who's the best sportsman-like, especially what the way the match they had on SmackDown was very good, and it took like four disarmers then it to eventually make Charlotte tap. She could say, I could get you this time, build the feud nicely, add a little bit of tension, but have Becky and Charlotte and give them proper time on a pay-per-view. You could have a really, really epic match that's not for the title, which would be nice as well to see a women's match. I don't want to see Charlotte, because she's not in the title match, thrown in another multi-woman match on SummerSlam just to get her in the card.
Well, I think that's going to happen. I mean, I completely agree with you. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte, and the fact that they're best, I mean, genuine best friends outside the ring. I think, you know, the chemistry is there, and you know they'd work together so well to create something, you know, pretty magical. Given, you know, if they were given 25 minutes at SummerSlam, they would absolutely knock it out of the park. But unfortunately, I think we're probably going Charlotte and Becky versus Lana and Tamina at SummerSlam. Which at this juncture, I can't say I'm massively excited about.
And it will be very quick.
Yeah.
Because the amount of matches they'll have to get on a SummerSlam card, even the amount of time they'll give the whole pay-per-view, it's going to be a quick one, isn't it? And you know, you want the big matches to have the big time. So it'll be a shame. It's great for Natty. It's great for her to give them that spotlight, but it's not great for Charlotte in terms of we want so much more from her because she's so good.
I'll tell you what, and also Charlotte being in the same ring as Lana, last night on Twitter I put
a
link to Google Maps and the Performance Center and said, hey, Lana. And it was just a joke. You know, I don't blame her. I think she's doing well. She's obviously new to it. She's being thrown into high, you know, on live pay-per-views, it's high-pressure situations for Lana. And I think, you know, she does do well in many respects. She's got her character down. She kind of performs well, but I just think physically you just notice so many differences. Some of her kicks on Charlotte's head and chest were so nasty last night, and I just don't think she's really sort of working that well in the ring. But, you know, I mean, I was quite disappointed in this match. Becky eliminated Tamina, and then she eliminated Lana, and then Natty got rid of Becky with a roll-up and a handful of tights, and then that left Charlotte and Natty, of course, and then Natty won this after a couple of minutes back and forth with Charlotte. And I thought, it was unexpected, and in that way it was really good. I do find Natty a bit robotic with her acting and and the way she is physically, whether it's in promos or just the looks she does to Charlotte, who was in the ring when Natty had won and she was in the aisle way. She just does things that
just overdoes it, doesn't she?
She overdoes it. You can see the cogs going around thinking, right, I have to pull this face now. I have to be in this position now. And you can almost see her adjusting to get in the perfect position. And I just think it's not quite fluid. It's not quite natural. It obviously doesn't come very naturally to her. So in that respect, I guess she's doing a good job because she's really trying. But I just don't think it comes naturally to her like it does to Charlotte.
No, it doesn't. But I think it's what's quite interesting as well. I've never heard this mentioned before, but I don't know if you heard this, James. But as she was coming out, I think Tom said that this is her 39th WWE pay-per-view, which ties the record for a woman with her and Trish Stratus, which means SummerSlam would be her 40th, and she'd be the woman with the most pay-per-view appearances in the history of WWE. So maybe that's why that's played into her being in a title match. I don't know. They said it once, and I kind of thought, oh, that's quite nice. They hadn't said it before. So I don't know if that's one of the reasons that they've made put her in that spot, because I didn't think she'd be – I don't think any of us mentioned her to be winning it on Wednesday's show. So it was a bit of a surprise. But I agree with you on her acting. I think we've said it before. Like, when she's on commentary, it's very cringeworthy, and some of her facials still need work, which is – for someone who's been in it for so long, I just think she thinks about it too much. I think she was more natural. She was pretty good on Talking Smack, actually, which
– Yeah, she was better on that. She was definitely better on that.
And just, in that environment, she's usually quite bad, but yeah.
Well, talking about Talking Smack, someone suggested – I can't remember who it was, but someone suggested on Twitter last night, maybe the writers were getting really frustrated with Talking Smack because actually, given the freedom – and this is something we say all the time, but that when the performers are given the freedom to be themselves, stay in character, but do things their own way, and they would probably have bullet points, but no – you know, they certainly wouldn't have a scripted promo to go on to Talking Smack. I wonder if the writers and the creative team get frustrated that more compelling content is coming out of Talking Smack when these talents are given the freedom to be themselves.
Yeah, it might be one of the reasons that, you know, we've seen it removed from our screens, which is a shame because, again, last night I was thinking when I was watching it this morning as well, I was just like, this works. You know, the Kevin Owens stuff, that up this feud when his title reign a notch. Natalia was better on it. Jinder Mahal seems to be a little bit better in that setting as well. So
yeah, much better.
It does so much beneficial for the talents, but maybe, yeah, you're right, maybe the creative team don't like it because it's given them more opportunity and showing them up that they're not doing enough on the TV shows, on the SmackDown shows. So we'll never know the real reason why Talking Smack's gone, but I do think it's a big shame because I think get it showed last night could be used as a great tool.
And good on Renee Young when the Talking Smack title theme tune was playing. She was like, oh, that's music to my ears. So I'm glad she kind of made reference to the fact that she wants Talking Smack to be a bigger thing. Very quickly on the women, at @SteveCA_MMA says, well, the whole magic of Flair whittled to nothing in a few weeks on SmackDown. Sigh, so much potential. # battleground. I don't know if that's a bit harsh. My feeling is Charlotte is not going to be in a big title match at SummerSlam because something else is going to trigger. Something else is going to start at SummerSlam, which will lead us either to Survivor Series or to WrestleMania.
She cannot not have a massive match at WrestleMania. She's the best women's talent on the roster. I know that WrestleMania feels like a long way away, but if we have to go through this kind of tepid version of Charlotte while she's been on SmackDown, then I'll take that for a massive, massive match next year.
100%. And just being positive on the situation we now have with the women, I think given time, Natty, as in given time in the ring at SummerSlam, Natty and Naomi could have a really good match.
It's one we haven't seen very often as well. So let's give these girls a chance.
Hello, you. Hello, Fresh. Could there be a better partnership than this? I'm delighted to welcome HelloFresh into the GP family. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I only work with brands on this show that I think you, the lovely listeners, will care about. And if you love your food, like I do, and are tired of cooking the same old things, HelloFresh could change your life. Now, me and my family are genuine, hand on my heart, this is honestly 100% legit. We are genuine HelloFresh customers. And honestly, it's made such a huge impact on my life because life's busy with commitments and with kids. And me and my wife just don't get much time in the week to actually plan nice meals and eat in a healthy way. And now, thanks to HelloFresh, we do, and you could too. Now, I was told this and I didn't believe it, but I think it's true. The average Brit cooks only 12 recipes a year. And HelloFresh gives you the opportunity to stir some life into dinner times and helps you break that routine. Pasta and a jar of sauce was our routine. Genuinely, no word of a lie, HelloFresh has made such an incredible difference in the D'Lo household. We get to cook different meals with a huge variety of fresh ingredients every day. And I love it because not only has it woken up my taste buds, but crucially, it's taken all the stress out of meal planning, all for a similar cost to our weekly shop. So what HelloFresh do is they send you new recipes every week with perfectly portioned fresh ingredients right to your door. You can choose classic, veggie, or family boxes. They're available for between 2 and 4 people with 3 to 5 meals per week, whatever you decide. You can check out all the details on their website, hellofresh.co.uk. Everything you need to know is on there. Plus, if you make an order, being a loyal Gorilla Position listener will help you out to no end. You can get 50% off your first 2 boxes with the promo code GP50. And if you like how it's going, and I'm positive you will, you can swap meals, you can skip weeks, or even pause your subscription at the touch of a button. I love my food. Nay, I adore my food. I'm obsessed with food. So I'm very passionate about this brand. It's been such an amazing thing for us. And so if you want to cook Instagram-worthy, picture-perfect meals, if you want to avoid supermarket queues, if you want no kitchen disasters and grumpy, boring dinners going forward, HelloFresh is the answer to your mealtime prayers. Head to hellofresh.co.uk, use the promo code GP50 and get 50% off your first 2 boxes. Say hello you to HelloFresh, and I'm extremely confident you will not regret it. Use the promo code GP50 to get 50% off your first 2 boxes now. AJ Styles takes on Kevin Owens, US title. It's not a title, it's a championship, as Kevin Owens was shouting to AJ at the beginning of the match. I mean, this was the one we all sort of pegged our hopes on. We thought this was going to be the show-stealing match. We thought this was going to be a bit of a classic. This was the biggest disappointment of the show, right?
Yeah, it was a prime example of this feud. It was in a microcosm. It was like this feud has never really caught fire, which I don't know what it is, why it happened. You've got two amazing talents in AJ Styles and Kevin Owens, arguably two of the best in the game at the moment. They had a match, I think it was on Raw very early on in AJ Styles' WWE run that was brilliant. I remember it being a great, great match. But they haven't quite managed to find that magic, have they, in this feud? The Money in the Bank match got in the way as well. It's never worked in promos for some reason, and when you put in the ring, I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on why these two can't quite click as we think they can. Maybe you expect too much because they're so good. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but it was a disappointment. And the ending, I was actually a little bit confused by it for a little while because they didn't even show replays. I don't know if you noticed that. They didn't show a replay of it afterwards. And I thought there might have been a slight botch, but they showed it on Talking Smack and there wasn't. I just thought it was a bit sudden ending. They didn't really explain completely what happened because it was quite a simple ending. But in the moment, I'd kind of, oh, what happened there? So I had to rewind it and keep watching it. But yeah, it just, again, I just felt a little bit disappointed in this one. And I think it's down to the fact that the storyline wasn't there, and that showed in ring.
Yeah, I agree. And there was this moment, and I don't want to be too harsh on this, because I think if we'd seen this match on weekly TV, we would have said, yeah, it's a really good TV match. You know, it was enjoyable. They did work well. There were some nice spots. But I just was expecting these guys to tear the house down. And I understand this is going to build into something bigger, obviously. AJ's going to come back with a retort on on Tuesday, and I imagine they'll have another match at SummerSlam. So, you know, this kind of ending is fine, but I just think the quality of it was a bit of a disappointment for me. There was a moment at the end where the ref gets knocked down, yeah. and then you can clearly see the ref in the back of shot on his knees, looking over at AJ and KO to see when his cue was to get back involved in the action. And I just thought that was really stilted. I don't know if you noticed that, but the ref was literally looking over to see when he should kind of jump back into the action. And then the pinfall thing happened and he did the slow 1-2-3. And it was a pinning predicament on AJ that I'm surprised he didn't kick out of anyway.
Yeah. It was a really flat ending.
It was very flat. It was very flat. At MI19DY7.
That's a catchy Twitter handle.
Sorry, DY76, just to add to the catchiness. He says, or she says on Twitter, building to the blow-off at SummerSlam, perhaps 2 out of 3 falls. So that could be good. I mean, again, if these guys are given the time, you know what kind of a clinic they could put on, but I just think we need to up the ante storyline wise. We need to up the ante promo wise, because the back and forths these two could have about their respective careers and why, you know, this, I think this is the perfect example of a storyline that needs to just come down to respect and who is the better man. And I think you could get so much good stuff out of Kevin Owens on this. You could get, you could get AJ talking about his career and everything he did in Japan whilst Kevin Owens was working in bingo halls for Ring of Honor. Yeah. You know, you could bring that all into it, and you know, and Kevin Owens could say, "Oh, you're meant to be one of the best in the world, but WWE didn't want you for 15 years or something." You know, there are ways to kind of twist reality and turn it into a really compelling story.
Because at the moment, their promos have been a bit hot air. They've been pretty much of nothing. I can't remember anything they've both said against each other in the last few weeks that I've gone, oh, yeah. The only thing of note was what Talking Smack was on last night, what Kevin Owens was saying on that, and how he was – I love how he called the referee collateral damage. You know, it happens. It doesn't matter, Renee. It was brilliant. And I want to see that Kevin Owens going against AJ Styles. And there's so many threads, like you say, that you could put into this. And these guys, you know, they've been there. They've done it. They know how to do it. And maybe that's why we're waiting for that match. Maybe they are building to the Barnstormer at SummerSlam in a 2 out of 3 stip or something else. I hope it's not a silly stipulation, but something that gets the best out of this feud and the best out of them too, because they could always steal the show, because they are, I mean, AJ to me is still the best in the world, and we know how good Kevin is as well. So this, I'm hoping that this is just the calm before the storm of what could be a magical moment.
Well, it could be. And do you know what? You just made me think when, you know, you're talking about silly stipulations or could this be 2 out of 3 falls. These are two of the best performers in WWE right now. Do you know what stipulation I want to see between these two at SummerSlam?
Best man wins.
I mean, literally, yeah. A singles one-on-one match. That's all I want from these two, because they know how to tell an incredible story. And I just think we just want that clean finish. And I think, I mean, it's odd that we've had a title switch before Battleground, and then we've had another one at Battleground. So I think that probably detracts from the end goal. I think if AJ had been climbing all this time and failing, and then at SummerSlam he gets the big win, then that's one thing. But I think the fact that he's already won the belt and then lost it again, it might detract from the overall story. But, you know, we'll see.
It's a bit clunky, I think, is the way I feel this viewed. It's a bit clunky here and there.
And with that flat finish, Bluebird CCFC got in touch again on Twitter and said, "This pay-per-view was going so well until the tag match ended."
It's true.
Which I thought was quite good.
Very, very true.
Now, we're gonna carry on this negativity train, and and we're going to talk about the flag match next. Rusev versus John Cena. Oh. I've got to be honest, Ash, I don't really want to talk about this match.
No, waste of time.
Not only was it a waste of time because there was no storyline going in, but, and I don't know if you noticed this, I'm not sure how you watched it, but
I noticed it.
The spot calling from John Cena in this match was appalling. He is the 16-time world champion, and he is spot calling so loudly, so clearly. He locks in a piss poor STF that looked like a cuddle I would give one of my children. And he put his head down and he had a conversation with Rusev about what to do next. And for me, that is the moment gone to the point where I don't care. And I just want the match to be over, because it makes a mockery of the entire thing.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because the last time Cena came back after a long absence, we had this thing with the spot calling, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it's like, is it he gets in the ring and ring rust? I mean, he's a 16-time. He's been doing this 10, 15 years. It shouldn't happen. But it seems when he comes back from a break and into his first match, it's like he can't quite get his levels right, or he's not used to what's happening again. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Your dog's doing a bit of spot calling now.
The postman has just come, so apologies to that. He doesn't like John Cena either. It's just terrible.
But you know what? That's a really good point. And I thought that I thought of you when I was watching this, and I remember you saying last time. I mean, maybe it was this time last year, but saying once Cena is away so much. You know, is his schedule so busy now that he is literally turning up at the arena and saying, we'll call it out there. You know, we'll do it out there. We don't, you know, is it that he doesn't have time to go through matches that he's having? Because there must be a reason. And to be clear, This is not to belittle the physical toll these guys undertook in the match. There was some nice action, and you've got to respect what these performers do. But again, he's a 16-time world champion. He is the face of WWE, and he's calling spots like this, taking the audience out of the moment. I mean, imagine this in a theatre, the actors prompting each other on stage next lines. That is what this is.
Yeah. And there's no excuse. There actually is, like, we're trying to find a reason behind it, but whatever the reason, even if he did just come in and go, right, I've got a match tomorrow, let's just call it while we're out there, he should be experienced enough to do it on the sly. How many matches in his career must have he had? Like thousands of matches even with Rusev. It's not like they've the first time they've been in a ring together. They've had at least, you know, they've had a feud that went to WrestleMania. They've fought since then as well. It's not like they're doing it for the first time. There is no excuse for it. He knows where the cameras are. He's fought on TV so many countless times. I just find it baffling of someone of his credibility that he can get caught out like this.
Yeah, I mean, I do. And do you know what? I thought there was a point where they were, you know, fighting up the aisleway and they had flags and it was all just, you know, and again, the action was okay. I'm not taking anything away from that. The risks they took, I mean, the attitude adjustment from the steps through the double tables, that was a big spot that must have really hurt Rusev. You know, there were some nice moments in this match, but I was watching it and one thought crept into my head was, I'd really like to go and watch Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne at NXT TakeOver right now. Because these are two young guys who had their first ever WWE pay-per-view match in a high-profile situation and had an absolute barnstormer, and they are professional enough, many years younger than John Cena. I mean, Tyler Bate's 19 or just turned 20, and these two put on a barnstormer. They put on a clinic, an absolutely, you know, a physically destructive match where they took each other to the limit, and there was not one moment of spot calling in that match, not one moment. And to think that John Cena can come on pay-per-view, take on Rusev in a flag match that had no storyline behind it, that no one really cared about, and then just call all the action in the ring for everyone to hear, I just think is utterly, utterly unforgivable.
It is, and it makes Rusev look really amateur. Like, Rusev's not, you know, like you say, Tyler Bates 20, but he's not some new kid on the block. Rusev, he's a fantastic wrestler, a great guy, but it makes him look silly that John Cena's telling him what to do next, but telling him in such a loud manner that we can all hear it. It just did nothing. This feud did nothing for anyone anyway, and then somehow they made it 10 times worse. John Cena made it 10 times worse by doing what is just an amateurish thing to do. It's just, I'm baffled. I am absolutely baffled by it. And I had no interest in the match going in. I've got no interest in the match now. I don't think I'll ever need to see it again. You know, there were some great spots in it. I agree. I mean, even Cena carrying him up the stairs, it's a great feat of strength. We know how strong John Cena is. So it's always amazing to see how strong he is all the time. But I mean, the stipulation's ridiculous as well. When Rusev was trying to put the Bulgaria flag down at the pace of a snail, it made the ladder matches look even like more credible when they try and go up the ladder really slow. I mean, there were three steps and he could have done it without even going up the steps, and you wanted the Cena to grab him. It's just that, you know, there are only so much we can believe with the ladder matches, and this, I hope I never see another flag match. I forgot about the one, I think you mentioned it on Twitter as well, that he had with Jack Swagger a few years ago, and that says it all that I forgot about it, because it must have been just as bad. This needs to just be put to one side. Hopefully they can try and resurrect Rusev again, because it did nothing for anyone.
And this business is about suspending disbelief. And not only, as you say, with all those kind of clunky physical issues in the steps and putting the flag in really slowly, but this spot calling just completely takes you out of that. And it just means you can't suspend your disbelief. You watch what you're watching. You hear John Cena telling Rusev what's happening next. And so then, you know, out of the moment. Moment gone.
But Vince and whoever's in charge of SmackDown, you know, must have heard that. Are they going to say that to John Cena, or has he reached the point where you can't say that to John Cena? Well,
This is what I don't understand. I remember about a year and a half ago on GP saying, WWE, if you're listening to this, you must understand that people are consuming their content differently. People are watching on mobiles, they're watching on tablets with their headphones in. You've got to watch the audio of this spot calling. And the main the person that does this the most is John Cena. And And I just thought somebody has to say something to Cena that this will not do. Like, it just will not do. So anyway, rant over, but
yeah,
seriously, something's got to change.
Yeah.
Fashion files. My question when this came up was, could this save the pay-per-view? Question mark. So this carried on, basically.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be the end, didn't we? But they've carried it on.
And I was far more invested in this than I was the flag match.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I quite like the X-Files thing, maybe because it's 90s. The Ascension got a pay-per-view appearance. That's good for them as well. So it's obviously not them. And, I mean, it's slightly intriguing because it's a mystery. You know, we want to know who these people are attacking, Breeze Dango and stuff. So, yeah, I've got much... It's a storyline that I care about more than just two flags fighting about... you know, the fans didn't even seem that into fighting for America that night because it was so false, but they stopped talking about it. But, yeah, I'm interested in this and I laughed. I laughed at the new CM Punk looking like a Fox Mulder.
He is the new CM Punk, mark my words. Who do you think it is?
I don't know. I think we keep saying this, don't we? Because tag team-wise, it'd be a bit... It's only the colognes that are off TV, but I think that'd be a bit disappointing. So at the moment, I'm a bit stumped on who it could be.
Mm.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, I sort of don't really care enough to have given it any thought. I don't know.
Cigarette smoking man, was he in X-Files?
What's the Authors of Pain? Let's just make it them.
Yeah, that'll do.
Okay, and then the match that we all forgot about was happening. Sami Zayn versus Mike Kanellis. Didn't expect this to be so late on the pay-per-view. I really enjoyed this. I thought they had good chemistry in the ring. It was a nice first showing on pay-per-view for Mike Kanellis in WWE. Really liked Maria blowing kisses for Mike from the outside for him to catch them in the ring and then hit his opponents with them.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really, really nice match.
They've got the gimmick down.
Yeah. Oh, they did. They did. And it's sort of trading wins. You know, Sammy lost on SmackDown and then won here. So you know, I don't know if this is going any further, if they're going to have a rubber match this week.
Yeah, I hope they do, because if you're building up a new talent, I think we've said before, Sami Zayn is quite someone who can take losses, and I think Mike Kanellis losing on his first pay-per-view is a little bit like, if you're trying to build someone up new, not saying he has to go on a long undefeated streak, but you'd like him to get an upper hand as a heel in the first sort of big feud. So I hope they go one more time, because I think the gimmick, I know I go on about the theme tune all the time and I do love it, but I do think the gimmick is working and there is longevity in it. So I hope they do give him a win, if it's not Sami Zayn, but whatever they do for him for SummerSlam. I hope they keep with it for the moment.
Yeah. Okay, so Mike Kanellis gets the he loses after Sammy gets the pin after the haluva kick.
It was a haluva kick as well.
Luke Simmons on Twitter got in touch saying, I've been having a little break from watching WWE as it was a bit stale. I returned to it today. It's not winning me back.
It's not a good day to return.
And now for a match I can't see, question mark. He is, of course, talking about Battleground's main event, which was the Punjabi prison match, Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal for the WWE World Championship. Now, I'll tell you
what. I love your silence.
Is this, well, there was one thing I noticed quite early on in the match. Is it just too much? Like at one point, Tom Phillips on commentary said, Orton ramming Mahal's head right into that steel-enforced bamboo. And I just thought, this is just a bit daft.
Yeah, I thought that with the door. I forgot about the door opening thing. Is that, I couldn't remember if that was in previous Punjabi prison matches, but it was just another thing to add to the match. Just like, oh, so you can't get out of those doors after the 60 seconds. Then you have to get over that. Then you have to, yeah, far too much. And you can't see. You cannot see. For those in attendance, I think Randy, when he did his arm thing, I don't think anyone could see him. So the pop was pretty, I mean, I know Randy's pops can be a bit here and there, depending on what city you're in, but it doesn't work, does it? The Punjabi prison, it just doesn't work.
Not as, I mean, to be honest, it wasn't as bad as I thought watching it on pay-per-view, because what I'd forgotten is kind of like Hell in the Cell, I guess, you can have cameramen inside. So the action was fine on camera, but as a live experience, I don't think I would have enjoyed this at all. I mean, listen, I was falling asleep. It was, I mean, the pay-per-view overran. The pay-per-view didn't end till 4:15 in the morning, UK time. So I was falling asleep during this because I just wasn't invested in it. I just didn't massively care what happened. Which is no disrespect to the performers, because actually they kicked two shades of shite out of each other, didn't they, for a large portion of it. Randy got colour on his arm. I don't know if you noticed, he got a cut and you couldn't really see the blood very much because of all his tattoos. And he said to the cameraman, as clear as day, he said, "Are you getting this colour? I really hope so." Because he was, he'd obviously been cut hard way. He was annoyed by it. And so he wanted to make sure at least, you know, at the very least, the camera was picking it up. Because he seemed to be in a great deal of pain, actually. There was the cut. There was the huge bruises and cuts on his back because of the... I didn't even see what Jinder Mahal hit him with.
Was it the chair? No, it wasn't the chair.
Did he have a cane in there?
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Okay. Because there was obviously some brutal shots with that,
And the chair. There were some chair shots as well.
Yeah. So you know, I thought the action was all right. It was a bit slow. It was a bit plodding. I mean, the Singh brothers obviously were involved. They were somehow in the ring, and then one of the Singh brothers took that dreadful fall from the top of the cage.
Fair play. I hope he's all right this morning, because that was what. 15 feet, did he? And he proper fell through that table as well.
Yeah, I mean, the idiot jumped as well. Yeah. You know, just to add a couple of feet onto it. So he went crashing through the table, which, you know, we saw coming as soon as he started climbing it on the commentary table side. An amazing spot. But what really upset me by it is that he went flying off the cage. He landed on the table, I mean, pretty well, but also pretty awkwardly, like his neck flung back. He must have got a bit of whiplash from that. But that was a massive spot for that young performer. And it was in a match that people didn't really care about. And the crowd popped quite loudly for the spot, but then went silent again straight afterwards. And I just think that is a huge risk for a performer to take in a match that no one's really invested in, and it's certainly not the way to get people invested.
No, and it felt like just to make sure, get the crowd going, didn't it? That's what it felt like, a moment. It's like they kind of knew that this might fall a bit flat, so let's throw something in there, which isn't fair on the performer, because like you say, it was so high, he jumped as well, and it landed awkwardly. So yeah, I think, I don't know if that was a great thing to do. I mean, it was a great spectacle to watch, and we liked seeing those spots, but I hope it was done safely. It was very Shane O'Mac-esque, wasn't it? But it seemed to be just for the reason to get the crowd going in a match that they kind of knew that the feud's falling a bit flat as well, so they need to throw that in there. And I think this is why there was a Punjabi prison full stop, because they needed to give this feud something else, because the fans haven't bought into it at all. We know Matt on GP is not a big fan of Jinder as well, and I think Jinder showed better, I suppose, but again, he's very ploddy anyway, in his ring style and stuff, and it was a physical match. It kind of helped them. It's the best match they've had, but that's not going back by a match, and it's just... Oh, I just don't want to see a Punjabi prison again. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, it just... They're throwing all the bells and whistles at this feud to get people invested. And the next thing they threw at it was Great Khali. He made his return. I mean, listen, we joked on the show last week they're going to bring Great Khali back.
Yeah.
And I emphasise the point, we joked about it.
Just wouldn't have thought they would do it. Just couldn't. Well, just no. So surprised by it, but not in a good way at all.
I mean, I sort of understand it from a storyline point of view. I sort of understand it from a, we're trying to build our business in India, let's get another big Indian star. I sort of understand it from a marketing perspective. Hey, look at this genuine giant we have on our roster. Look at what he did. I get it. Getting the mainstream more interested. But at the same time, I just don't think it works, because yes, you have a giant, but physically he can't do anything. He's an impressive specimen. He's impressive to look at. You look at him and go, you know, I think I told a story in last week's show. I shook his Great Khali's hand many years ago, and I could not believe the size of his hand. It was absolutely unreal. He is an amazing person to look at, but physically he can't do anything. He can barely walk. He looks very old compared to how he looked 10 years ago. His physique has gone downhill.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. I mean, from a storyline perspective, what we're looking at now is Randy Orton versus Great Khali.
Do you think he's going to get back in the ring? Do you think he's going to go in the ring?
I mean, I hope not. And I hope that's not the case. That's obviously not what I'm calling for.
Yeah.
But at the same time, from a storyline point of view, that's the only logical way to go.
Yeah, well, yeah. You can't have them fight again because I don't think there's any interest in it. I don't think it's, you know, storyline wise, Randy's not owed a rematch. I know he was cost by Khali, but there's no rules in a Punjabi prison match, so you can't really play that card either. And there's just no scope to go four times with these two as well. So it does lend itself to them too. But surely, I mean, Craig Khali couldn't do a match properly in 10 years ago. I don't know what. I can't even begin to think what he'd be like in the ring now, because, like you say, he could barely walk. I had this horrible moment where he came out and Randy was at the top of the cage. I thought he was going to climb the top, and I was just like, we're going to see something horrible here. And eventually he climbed kind of not even to the middle, a few sort of what he'd call steps up. But I have no interest in seeing them in the ring together. I think it could be a car crash. It really could.
I mean, good on Randy Orton. He sold it really well. And like, just from a facials point of view, when Great Khali came out, even though there was a collective groan from the crowd and everyone watching at home, I imagine, Randy Orton sold it like $1 million. He was like, oh my God, he's a giant. What on earth's he doing here? And I thought Randy's facials was great. When he nearly fell off the top of the cage, Randy Orton did, when Khali was shaking the cage. And I think Randy had obviously rehearsed how he was going to do that, but it looked, you know, my heart skipped a beat when I watched that, because I thought, oh God, he's going to fall down. So, you know, I thought Randy did a really good job in the closing moments of this match. But I just think it feels like we're going Cena, Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam. Especially after all the American pride.
Yeah, we're
going to
play
match,
that up again, yeah.
I feel like that's going to be played up, and I can't say I've got much interest in that.
No.
But then, I mean, we're not going Khali, Randy Orton.
We really can't.
We can't do that. Not in this day and age.
Yeah, especially what it might keep off the card as well. You think of some of the talents that might not get on the SummerSlam card just to see the Great Khali? Please not. I'd rather him be in the corner of Jinder Mahal, but I don't know where that leaves Randy Orton, obviously. But if he's going to take on John Cena, you know, just be I'd say a mouthpiece, but you don't want to hear him speak, but like a bodyguard or a henchman to go along with the whole act with the Singh brothers. That I can deal with just about. I don't want to see him competitively in the ring. I'm not SummerSlam either. It's just he can't go now.
No, I mean, his body would suggest that he certainly couldn't do anything in the ring. I mean, he can't walk.
He didn't even have his old music. Didn't he come out to Jinder Mahal's music?
Yeah.
Which made the fans go, why are they, what? Because he had his own music, if I remember rightly. Great Khali must have done.
Did, yeah.
So did they? Were they afraid that they wouldn't recognise the Great Khali's
generic
music?
Generic Indian music.
Yeah,
they both
have.
But listen, I mean, this really was a moment, right? I saw him come out and was like, okay, why isn't Rusev in this spot? Why isn't there a young performer who's been pushed to the moon? Why on earth have they got Great Khali back? And, you know, I do understand from the wider mainstream entertainment standpoint, from a marketing point of view, I do get it, but I just don't get it.
but are we insulting the Indian fans' intelligence slightly by saying they're only going to watch it if the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal are headlining some sort of pay-per-view?
I think this whole thing is dumb. It's like, we're British. We don't just watch the British talents. We don't disregard any American or Canadian or Indian performer because they're not British. So why are they expecting Indian fans to only enjoy Indian performers?
Yeah, if they're watching WWE, they like Americana. So they don't really, you know, it's nice to have, you know, we like seeing Wade Barrett when he was on top of the card. You're kind of like, go on, son.
And yeah, of course.
The stuff Tyler Bates doing, but we don't need it to watch it. We're not going to go, oh, there's no one British, you know.
Yeah.
Bring back Davey Boy until he's on it. I'm not interested. It's a little bit insulting to the people of India. They're like, oh, they're only going to watch it if we bring back the Great Khali. It's like, no one wants to watch the Great Khali. It doesn't matter what country you're from.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I guess it's good to have someone as a spokesperson for the company who can go out to India and do press and photo shoots. And, you know, I mean, he's quite an extraordinary person to be in the same room as, you know. I've had firsthand experience of that, and he is quite something. But I just don't want to see him involved in weekly television, certainly not in any kind of physical way.
No way.
Okay, well, listen, that was Battleground, a very odd pay-per-view. I think certainly I can say with kind of 99% certainty that this was probably the worst pay-per-view of 2017.
What was the House of Horrors? What was the rest of the pay-per-view? Was okay, wasn't it? So
I was thinking about the House of Horrors last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I said, As a single match, the House of Horrors is on its own, I suppose, but as an overall pay-per-view, and I can only think of one match where I thought really did well in the tag match, then yeah, I think it probably was the worst pay-per-view of the year.
I just think storylines going in weren't there. There were two very flat finishes, one being Baron Corbin and Shinsuke Nakamura, and the other, disappointingly, being the US title match, which everyone had huge high hopes for. And then a main event that was just silly, the return of someone that no one wanted to see. I mean, there was a lot wrong with this pay-per-view.
Yeah, and you don't even mention the flag match that was so redundant in 2017. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was us trying to be positive about Battleground 2017. Interest is to know what you guys thought, so keep your thoughts coming in at WWEGP on Twitter and Facebook. Make sure you follow us too. Ash, where can people find you if they want to get in touch on social?
I am on Twitter and Instagram at AshRoseUK. Say hello.
Awesome. Okay, and you in on Wednesday?
It's my anniversary, so I'm actually out for the day. So yeah, it's a personal day for me. So
I hope
you and the boys run down whatever happens with the Great Khali perfectly.
No, do you know what? I think Matt is away on holiday this week, so it might be a one-on-one, me and Skills.
Oh, the man, the myth, the legend.
The man, the myth, the legend. Okay, well, everyone listening at home, make sure you tune in on Wednesday, and me and Skills will break down everything that happens on tonight's Raw and then Tuesday's SmackDown, the post-Battleground episode. Should be interesting, if nothing else.
But it's one of those funny ones like we mentioned, though, isn't it? You want to kind of see the aftermath now, but you've got to wait another night because of Raw and SmackDown. It's always weird after a SmackDown pay-per-view.
Yeah. Okay, Ash, well, thank you for jumping on the line this morning. Appreciate your time, as always.
We didn't hear from your mum.
No, do you know? Yeah, so I don't think I've even mentioned it. I am weirdly at my mum's house. I don't want listeners to think that me and Katie are going through a trial separation.
She's there too, isn't she?
Yeah, she's here too. I'm not living at my mum's house. I'm not sofa surfing. It's just the holidays, and we're coming down here quite a bit to see them while the kids are off school. So yeah, it's like a crash downstairs because Katie's got her friends here as well. So it's all going on downstairs. So I've escaped in the study. And had a bit of quiet time with Ash Rose. Love it.
I'll let you get back to your craziness there then.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, thank you very much for listening to this special pay-per-view reaction episode of GP, everyone. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed our thoughts. Let us know what you think at WWEGP on Twitter. We'll see you Wednesday. Me and Skills running down everything. And the road to SummerSlam is upon us. Things, hopefully, are going to look up after the action last night. So thank you, Ash, and thank you to people at home. This has been a Starstruck Media production. We shall see you for Wednesday's Gorilla Position. See you then.
Position from Talk Sport with WWE 2K17. Available now for Xbox One, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation 4. Welcome to Suplex City.